Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Running Things with Donovan Bailey.
Hello out there. We are back for another episode of Running Things with Donovan Bailey and myself, co-host Simon Jane. How you doing, Donovan?
I'm here, man. This is today's an awesome day, a great kind of fall day, a great day for golf. And unfortunately, I did not have a chance to get out and play today, but I think that I want to get out at some point this week.
It was actually a really nice fall day, kind of on cue, right? September 1st, and just like a little breezier, I wouldn't say chillier, but it was certainly not. It's not like humid hot like it's been for like the last 2 weeks.
Well, for me, it's definitely chilly, and I felt that because, you know, as a Jamaican, and also someone who lived in the South, in the U.S., I love it warm and muggy that you can almost chew the humidity. I love it that way. So today was a little lighter. And definitely, you know, I'm wearing a hoodie right now because it's a little cool for me.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot. It's coming up a lot now that you lived in Texas. Texas is making the news these days for all the wrong reasons, but it seems like they're going backwards there.
Everything is big in Texas.
Everything is big in Texas. Yeah. Yeah. I know we've talked the Shakari Richardson thing to death, but I just wanted to know, do you put anything, because last episode we talked about taunting and, sort of like using social media as a tool to like potentially also taunt. And there was a moment last week where there was I wouldn't say it was like racist or anything like that, but there was definitely a tweet that someone worded that was a little offensive to, I think, Caribbean people, Jamaican specifically. And it was quote unquote liked by Shakari Richardson, which created obviously a whole whirlwind of commentary on that. And it's like, so I just wanted to follow up with you about, you know, how we felt about the taunting and commentary and like razzing your opponent. And, you know, if it's just being taken too far right now, because, you know, everything is polarizing online.
Well, one, I still have to get comfortable online myself. But here's the issue for me. Whatever it is that you do online or whatever you like online, and if you're going to bully someone online, let's understand that it's going to come back at you anyway.
Sure.
And so, you know, and so for me, yeah, I did see the story about Shakari liking something that really she probably shouldn't have. I mean,
probably shouldn't have, no.
If I was part of her team or an advisor, I'd say, listen, you got to understand now, you've got the biggest platform, and every single breath you take and every move you make is being watched and being monitored and obviously being brought to conventional media. You know, so I would tell her not to. Also in sports, you got to understand, I'm just thinking that in sports, especially in track and field, you live and die by the moment. And so there is a ton of people watching her compete every single time. There's a ton of Jamaicans. I mean, Jamaicans probably...
very prideful people.
We are the most passionate and patriotic people on the planet. And I'm saying that, you know, whatever it is that... she's got to be careful about that stuff, because at the end of the day, if you're going to criticize Jamaicans or Caribbean people or Africans or whomever, understand that that very same set of people can come back at you and be relentless. So understand that if you're an athlete and you live and die by whether or not you win or lose, man, you better go undefeated for the rest of your life. and you better be breaking world records every single time you go on. I mean, Sha'Carri runs in a couple of days in Brussels. And, you know, we'll see how that works. I mean, she's going to become, I think there's going to, Elaine Thompson is waiting for her.
Right.
And so is Sharika Jackson. So she's got two Jamaicans representing the whole culture of Jamaica.
Only two in this race?
Well, only two in that race. But
They're giving someone else a chance for a change.
Well, those two are very well positioned and obviously very well, might be damn well overqualified to take her on. So it's going to be interesting to see the race. But at the end of the day, I mean, this really is about social media. One, I think that it's an incredible tool that can be used for fantastic good.
Agreed.
Fantastic greatness, but also understand that it can go the other way very fast. And if you're not careful, it will and can destroy you.
Very well said. And I agree 100%. And I think that, you know, if these athletes are going to continue, or if we're going to continue to pump out athletes at younger and younger ages, there needs to be some type of, I wouldn't say accountability because that's strong, but I mean, at least some type of training or tutelage that would keep them.
No. Well, you're right. First of all, in track and field, and I say this because as an individual, it's an individual sport. In golf, you have to be responsible. So whether or not if you're in tennis, you've got to be responsible. So, and in track and field is the same way. So if you're an 18-year-old phenom in any one of those sports, at the end of the day, you are responsible for everything you do, everything you say, everything you eat. Like you are responsible for everything. So I think that being responsible is very important. I think that a lot of the young athletes in any individual sports whatsoever, one of the greatest, I mean, apart from personality, everyone has their own unique personality. Every single human being does. But it's very important to understand, you know, the weight that social media can carry. It's also very important to understand your own ambassadorial role to sell your sport. It's very important also to understand that all the good that you can do with your platform, it can be reversed on you again if you don't harness the responsibility. So, you know, Sha'Carri, I'm sure she knows what's happening. And ultimately for me, anytime I see young athletes or young people, for that matter, get into any one of these situations, the first thing I always ask, especially if I know someone on their team, is does this young athlete has media training? And do they actually understand, you know, the weight or the level of responsibility that's just been put on their shoulders, regardless if they want it or not?
Yeah, I would just give my social media accounts up. I'd just be like, I don't want to do this. You hire somebody and just let me train and just be the best athlete I can be. I just, you know, I say that because I'm not 18 and surrounded by people that want to get at me. But, you know, that would be my head thinking on it anyway.
Well,
but
I mean, from a brand management perspective, I think that's very important. I mean, I think that if, you know, Sha'Carri is whether she's a Nike, I think she's a Nike athlete.
I think she is, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's very important for someone like Nike to say, you know what, we're going to, from a brand perspective, we're going to help guide you so that you're going to get the most and very best out of this opportunity.
I mean, this sets up a nice sort of like unity, liberal for all Nike ad down the road, right? With like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Nike has been very good at presenting those marketing opportunities.
Yeah, they have. In sort of, I guess, more pleasant sports news, if you want to look at it that way, there seems to be, and I'm glad this actually happened because I wanted to take, because, you know, you yourself, also a businessman. So, you know, one thing that has sort of consumed you, or at least occupied a large portion of your life at this point now, aside from sports, is business.
Right.
You know, and you enjoy it. It sets you on fire. Like being a businessman is something that you take a great deal of pride in.
Yeah, well, it's the greatest. I mean, well, first of all, I mean, sports was something that created an incredible adrenaline rush that can't be surpassed by anything.
I agree.
And I think that most athletes, obviously, when they've retired or when they can no longer physically play sport, what exists within them is that massive competitive burning flame, you know, called competitiveness.
To win.
to win, to be a champion again, and business opportunities are those things I think that stimulate an athlete, stimulate a retired athlete. I mean, golf stimulates all of us, but sometimes, none of us are always going to have the physical tools to be a Tiger Woods or whatever. Most of us. But from a business perspective, the greatest stimulation post professional career is business. So, I mean, I'm always down to discuss sports business, the business of sport, or sport people being in business or doing business.
Well, here we have it then. So the latest headline, and we're still kind of formulating how concrete the deal is, but it seems as though ABG, which is the company that Shaquille O'Neal is a investor in, he has a large portion of their shares. So people basically say that he is involved with the company and has successfully convinced ABG to purchase Reebok from Adidas for what they're saying is approximately $2.4 billion. So, is it unusual for a shoe company to be sold? No. Is it unusual for a shoe company to be sold to a former basketball player? Yes.
You know what? When I hear you say that, I mean, one, I'm so proud. And I'm proud as an athlete first. And I think that I want to address that. I mean, when I hear about the deal, first of all, I hope that this is done. I hope it's solid. I hope that Shaquille is definitely one of the big shareholders in this. He has done from a brand perspective, and for someone who transcended his sport and still continues to be, very viable today.
He's just awesome,
right? Shaquille O'Neal has been exemplary in just transforming his brand from the basketball court to the boardroom. Obviously, you have someone like Magic Johnson, who's also done a great job. Michael Jordan has done incredible, but there's a lot of
we'll
young
get
athletes.
To Michael, yeah.
Yes. But if this deal is true, I'm truly proud. I've definitely had the opportunity to sit down and have chats with Shaquille O'Neal, and he's one of the most incredible humans there are. This deal would say a lot, not just for... first of all, we all know he's a black athlete, and we don't even need to address that, because what this does is inspire generations of black kids around the world that not only can they buy a shoe that's owned by a guy, a major shareholder of an ownership group, but they can also become an owner one day. So this, to me, this is one of those trailblazing moments for me. And I think that if this is true, and Shaq and his team has put together this deal to buy Reebok from Adidas, this will be one of the best and most incredible acquisitions ever, because we all know that it's going to be supported.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a plethora of younger or relevant basketball players today that are going to come on, join on that lineup. You know, as long as the shoes don't suck, we should be okay.
Well, you know what? I mean, I've never had a deal with Reebok. I've been with Adidas my whole life. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. I was with Nike for about 3 months. and then I was stolen by Adidas. So they have always had good shoes. I mean, I think, unfortunately, maybe they were owned by Adidas. Maybe the focus was on just keeping Adidas itself afloat. I'm sure it's very difficult to run two shoe brands.
It would be, I think, really difficult to separate those brands when you're talking about creative strategies and all these different things, right?
But ultimately, yes, I understand that. But ultimately, the consumer doesn't know.
Yeah.
And what you have is clearly loyalty to shoe, because all the sneakers out there, I mean, they know Adidas and they know Nikes and they know all the other, Mizuno's lesser known brands. Out there, so in this case, though, in thinking of this acquisition and hoping that this acquisition is absolutely true, and hope that more media people, I'm a little pissed off at that, actually, because if this the case, this should be headline news on every single conventional TV station, every single news stream around the planet. If this is true,
and you don't want to say it, right? Like, you don't want to outrightly say everything. like your gut reaction or your knee-jerk reaction to anything, you don't always want it to be, well, this is racist, or this is because he's black. But, you know, if this deal has been approved, if this is a concrete sale of this brand, you can't help but wonder if Tom Brady was buying it, or Peyton Manning was buying it, or even like Mark Wahlberg was buying it, that it would be bigger news.
Like I said, I just want to confirm that this is real, because if this is real and this is real today, and it's concrete today, and it's not on every single conventional business
news
channel,
outlet, yeah,
regular news channel, or online stream, then yeah, we're going to discuss that in the next episode. but for sure, I mean, I want to make sure that this is real. This is true. If this is true, first of all, Shaquille O'Neal, my boy, congratulations to you and your team. This will probably be one of the greatest acquisitions you ever will do. You and your team certainly can focus on making this shoe a direct competitor, an equal competitor to the other two big shoe companies, Nike and Adidas. So if this is true, man, I'm definitely looking forward to them doing incredible things, and also seeing someone like Shaq, you know, as the elder statesman and the owner, essentially kind of doing almost like what Magic Johnson is doing with the Dodgers, and what he's done in so many of his other incredible business ventures. But Shaq from the boardroom, and also a lot of these, you know, schoolyard kids picking up Reebok and wearing Reebok and repping Reebok to its maximum, because Shaq is now an owner.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll return in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, you know, and this is an important part or important play in, I think, the grand scheme, or the history, I should say, of sports and CEOs and athletes turning business moguls. Because, you know, with everything else, if you look at athleticism right now, it, much like anything else, it's getting younger and younger. We are training people to be better athletes at younger ages. And that, I think, is also becoming slightly true with business. So, you know, whereas Shaq, his career has been exemplary, we don't have to talk about that. But, you know, where he's coming at it now to have put himself in a position to buy this company is massive. And then you sort of like do the trickle-down effect and see, well, where else is sports and business intersecting now that it wasn't before? And the big glaring one to me is obviously the NCAA.
Right. Yes. The biggest grassroots training program for most sports on the planet.
And arguably outputting, you know, if we're going to use race as a topic, a large portion of black athletes.
Well, I mean, depending on the sport, but yes, a big part. I mean, obviously, people are utilizing scholarship opportunities, but I guess what you're trying to say is the best athletes in the world are black. Maybe
some of them. I would say a lot. I mean, you know, it's. I don't know what the ratio is or the number, and it obviously doesn't truly matter. But you know, one of the things that the NCAA has always been accused of is marginalizing
athletes.
Right. And unfortunately, a large percentage of those athletes are people of are minorities. So for years, I mean, the big argument, so for anyone that's not really understanding what we're talking about when we say NCAA, recently the NCAA changed its regulations so that for the first time in history, and this has been a topic for a long time, for the first time in history, NCAA university or college athletes can profit on their name and image, which up until last year, 2020, was impossible.
A few months ago, it was even this year.
So 2021.
It wasn't last year.
Was impossible. So, you know, everyone from Michael to Magic to everyone I can think of has said, though, this is LeBron for sure. This is an injustice, you know. Right.
Well, LeBron never went to college, so yeah. I guess he's one of the guys who essentially is leading the pack and making sure that this law is now in place. One, I've never believed in the business model of the NCAA. Now, handing out scholarships, we all know that those kids have to be academically sound. And they definitely have to have physical tools in order to receive a scholarship. Schools are not just, you know, going out the street and handing scholarships to anyone, every tall woman or man walking to a basketball
no,
scholarship.
No, there needs to be a talent base right. there, right?
Well, yeah. So I'm saying to you that, and yes, largely that could be, you know, anyone maybe could be in the African-American community because they're also looking for opportunities to get better. Now, I've never believed in a business model. So here's my thought on this. The NCAA finally coming around and paying athletes for the image, name, and brand is an absolute welcome situation for me.
So you are for it?
I am 100% for it. I mean, I think that there's a lot of kids that's been exploited many years. But well, I guess every single year up until this year, kids have been completely and totally exploited. So my thought has always been, and this is maybe where the business person comes with me. I own my image, I own my brand, I own my name, I own all those things. So if someone is profiting, then I deserve to have a percentage of that. Now, the business model of track and field is very much like the NCAA, where if you are a track and field athlete or an Olympic athlete, we'll say, representing your country, you literally sign a contract saying that, you know, the Olympic committee, you know, or athletics committee of that country owns those things as long as you're competing
under those flags. Right.
Now, so two things that I'll address. One, I'll address the NCAA first. If you're using an athlete's name, face, image, brand, whatever, if there's a massive sponsorship, if there is an incredible media contract, then that athlete needs to be paid for it. Now, do I believe that athlete should be given a check? No. I think that there should be a trust set up in that athlete's name. They can obviously tell him or her that they have X number of dollars for them. It's placed in a trust. That trust is handed to the athlete when that athlete either graduates or when that athlete goes pro. That to me, it makes it less sloppy for an athlete and an athlete's lawyer and an athlete's parents to be negotiating with a chancellor for university or a massive accounting firm. That's just what I think. Now, very much the same way, I think that in track and field, I think that's exactly what should happen. I mean, imagine if, you know, Carl Lewis was getting a piece of the NBC contract with the IOC, or Linford Christie, or myself, or someone like Usain Bolt, which is like next level. I mean, imagine, you know, whatever the $90 billion or $100 billion contract signed with the IOC, you have the guy, the number one athlete, who's filling seats.
He's the one putting the butts in the seats.
He is the one. Yeah. Imagine that person now getting a piece of the action. So it means that him being the number one athlete in the world, number one star at the Olympic Games, do I think he deserves $100 million for just helping the Olympics be the most watched event in the world? Absolutely.
Me too.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So I'm just saying to you, so both my thoughts are very much the same with the NCAAs. Every athlete that you're using, they absolutely deserve to get paid. Do you send a check to them every weekend? No. Put it in trust. You know, let them be students. Let them
live the student life.
Let them stay hungry. Yeah. And when that athlete's when he graduates, he or she graduates or turn pro, just hand over that trust to that athlete. And in track and field, definitely, I think that the greatest and biggest stars are definitely entitled to, one, own their brand, two, be partners with their Olympic committees as well as the International Olympic Committee, and definitely share in some of the incredible revenue that these associations are taking in.
Yeah, because that's the rub for me, right? So I agree with everything you just said. These universities, the ones that are going and recruiting these you know athletes from wherever they find them, you know, small, right. They're making billions, right? And a lot of these coaches who are coaching these kids, these phenoms, are making millions. And then
they're not millions, Simon. I mean,
coaches are making a million.
Let me finish my thought. For instance, when you think at NCAA football, it's a rare find when you have a coach that's not
making
less than $5 million a year.
That's
okay. Or $10 million a year.
Yes, I misunderstood what you said. Right. 100%.
Right. So and so these coaches are making, they're making tens of millions of dollars, some of them each per year. Yes, they have the heavy lifting of churning out these kids into being stars. But if you're using those kids to sell your product, any product whatsoever, then you deserve that. I mean, when I can't imagine, you know, in college where athletes' jerseys are flying off the shelves.
Flying in some
flying
cases.
Flying off the shelves. Yeah. And those athletes are getting zero.
Zero. And worse than that, some of them get into trouble or they get fined or they lose an award or an accolade because their agent took them to dinner or something that just barely makes it over the line of an NCAA regulation. You know, we have the curious case of, and this is coming up a lot recently, of course, because of the regulations, Reggie Bush, who it wasn't just another student athlete. He was the student athlete. He received the Heisman Trophy in 2005, which was stripped from him because of alleged NCAA regulations, all relating to income. And we're not even talking millions here. We're talking something way less formidable than that. But they took it from him. And so, you know, to the moment right now, to the letter we are and the minute we are speaking in, he has not been given his accolades back.
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately for Reggie, sometimes when you're the first, people want to take that pound of flesh. So do I believe that Reggie should get should have all these awards? Absolutely. Should he have his Heisman Trophy? 100%. Now, it's always been, you know, I've been on campus at Louisiana State University and at the University of Texas. So I fully understand the NCAA, some of these NCAA rules, and some of them are absurd. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if someone takes an athlete out for lunch, again, we're not, as you said, Simon, this is not about tens of millions of dollars. Yes, we know that sometimes there's boosters and so forth. But if you can't take an athlete out to lunch, forget about an agent. If you're with your coach and your coach, if you're the star quarterback, we'll say you're the star quarterback at University of Texas and the coach decides to take the star quarterback out, he can't pay for dinner. You know, I'm just saying that would be a violation. Like some of the...
I think it is a violation.
Some of the NCAA violations are just absurd. So I'm glad that there's a turn. I'm glad that some of these legislations have changed that allow a little bit more leeway and also allow some of these athletes to participate in the things that they're doing, like, you know, at the moment. They don't have to wait. They don't have to wait to, you know, someone, the coach can say, hey, we're going to take the team out to dinner because we just won,
Pac-10 championship or whatever.
We just won the Sun Bowl, like whatever. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you should be able to say, okay, the coach is really going to put that on the corporate credit card for the whole 60 people that are on the team. That to me is something that should be a normal thing.
100%.
Just like any CEO, you know, a company goes public, all of a sudden, you know, the IPO at a great price and he decides going to take the entire firm out, for a shindig and everyone, and that shindig is paid for by him or her. You know, so ultimately, again, I'm glad that we're at a place right now. But yeah, the NCAA, you know, one, the NCAA system is changing. Reggie should get his trophy. And I'm very happy that the athletes today are definitely going to benefit from past athletes and current athletes who have been asking and preaching and wanting this law to change. So, you know, young athletes, be thankful to those people that have been instrumental in ensuring that this law is at the places at today where certainly you'll all be benefiting.
Yeah. You know, and the one thing that you briefly touched on there that is, I think, of the most important in this situation is that, you know, not only like 90 something percent of NCAA athletes, that's the end of it. They don't go on to create.
Not 90, 99.9%.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Is it even that high?
It's less than 1% of all athletes make it to the next level where they can
after
afford
college,
where they can afford to make a living wage from their athletic talents.
Right.
So it's less than 1%.
So a lot of them peaked in university and college.
Right. 100%.
And they were not able to make any. So that's right there. That's one thing that needed to be corrected for sure. And then of course, because we were talking about like Shaquille O'Neal, you know, what it must do for these young athletes now that are coming up from this moment forward to get business acumen started so young, you know?
Well, first of all, I mean, and I'm not saying this as an athlete. I think that if you're a human being, then and definitely you've put the work in, then you should own your image, brand name, and you should be given the rewards for all of that. One of the great things about, you know, reiterating what you just said, Simon, one of the great things about what Shaq is doing, and again, I want to make sure and hope that this is real and it's final and that sale is final, that then that ink is dry, is that yes, there are young, incredible athletes, their future stars that are just born today that can see an owner that looks just like them. And that will send massive waves through every single community where people can aspire not only to be an athlete, be a college athlete, but also, you know, be a professional athlete and be an owner. And that's incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, up until this point, I think there was only really one major. I mean, Jordan, I think, stands out as the athlete who has turned his brand into probably the most iconic in all of the world. I don't think there is a single nation on the face of the earth that wouldn't recognize the Jumpman now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jordan again, one, blessed, two, lucky. He had some great supportive staff around him. His agent was fantastic. And when they decided to do the deal, it was an incredible time, an incredible deal at the time. And certainly he has shown exactly how it is that you can do business where, you know, refusing cash, taking some equity, running his own brand underneath the Nike brand. And now it's one of the greatest brands for Nike, one of the most profitable brands for Nike. So again,
it had its,
Jordan,
had its first ever $1 billion quarter last year.
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, and it's going to continue to grow. So, yeah. if Jordan is doing that with just a portion, I mean, the Jumpman 23 brand, Jordan brand is a part of the Nike brand. Imagine what Shaquille can do having all of Reebok.
I mean, I'm hoping he can make it just as big, you know. I'm hoping he can make it just as wild and just as wildly popular as the Jordan brand. Although it's going to be a huge undertaking to do that. But
listen, there's no doubt. And again, someone who has, you know, again, support system, and the support system is not a black thing. It's not about this a black owned shoe brand. I think Shaquille O'Neal happens to be black. I mean, and it's kind of, when someone asked me about the Olympics and being a black athlete, I'm like, well, there's 205 countries that compete,
right.
and they're from every walk of life, you know, and every single culture, every single country in the world puts a 100-meter guy out there. And so Shaquille, and I know this for a fact, Shaquille O'Neal wants to be known as a great businessman. That businessman happened to look big, 7-foot black guy that is smart as hell. but I think that the number one thing that he wants to be known as is an incredible businessman. What's great about what Shaq is doing is that little kids, 2-, 3-, 4-year-old kids, not only can wear the shoe, but they can also identify with the owner. And I think that is a absolute massive trailblazing effort put forth by Shaquille, and one of those times in life where, you know, it's really blessed to be in this environment, really blessed to be here witnessing something like this.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what they say. They say a rising tide lifts all boats. So
that's what they say.
That's what they say.
I don't know who they are, but yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the case of Jordan, right, who you can argue took a lot of criticism over his career for maybe not being as active as one should, or in the sort of social commentary.
Let me cut you off. I beg to differ on that. I think that there are activism. I think that sometimes people criticize their own or criticize other people based solely on their own personal efforts. One of the things that we've learned, especially during this pandemic, is that everyone has a voice, and on every single level, people need to do what's comfortable to them. I know that when I hear or I read, I've had the fortune of meeting Michael Jordan, he's always been someone who led by example. He's a guy who played basketball at the highest level. He wanted to take your head off on the basketball court. And so everyone kind of sit back and be mesmerized at him playing. Now, when he finished basketball, he wanted to be a business guy. And he's a business guy that everybody talked about. And so that's the example that he leads. Is he outside with a placard protesting, you know, whatever he needs to protest? No. But if he's leading by example, saying, guys, if you're an athlete and you've made some money, you certainly can formulate a great partnership with one of these brands that you have aligned yourself with. And also you can continue to be an owner and own things. And to me, that's probably, for me personally, that's the greatest example, because that's the model that I follow. I might not necessarily be a guy protesting and doing that and speaking out against things in particular, but I definitely want to own my brand, own a business, you know, give back to charity, give off my time. And I know for a fact that is what Michael Jordan does.
Yeah, like Mike. We all want to be like Mike, you know, and to bring it full circle, he actually is now donating a lot of money to social inequalities and ensuring that a lot of different communities and charities are getting funding for trying to at least eradicate or change racial inequality in some way. So yeah, as we said before, like Mike, we all want to be like Mike. Yep, that brings us to the end of another episode of Donovan Bailey's Running Things. I'm your co-host, Simon Jane. As always, we are powered by Acast. If you like the show, please review and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. We will talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Running Things with Donovan Bailey.